For the invitation. So let me first tell you some motivation about this talk. And the motivation actually is the hardest part of the talk. It's the following formula. And that's it. Yes. If you understand this formula, you probably know the most the main part of the motivation of the talk. I guess everybody knows this formula. Then the interesting thing about this formula and the and its relationship with the B-wave mass equation is the following. Now, let's promote this variable. To be a function of one variable. Then introduce a Poisson bracket. For example, as follows, if you look at a Poisson bracket of two functions, give rise to a derivation of the delta function. Then you look at this formula and look at all the power series. For example, and look, construct some kind of Hamiltonian function. So I just collect these theories. well, whatever. So you think about this one as a Hamiltonian function. You have infinitely many of them. Then you realize that, oh, these functions actually commute under this Poisson bracket. And you find infinitely many commuting Hamiltonians from this expression. It's a direct calculation. You compute the Poisson bracket for these functionals. And you find infinitely many commuting Hamiltonians. Actually, this is exactly the dispersionless KdV integrable hierarchy.
What's the role of the parameter t?
Ah, yeah, I didn't explain. This is the descendant, it corresponds to the Hodge filtration, but I don't want to explain at this point. Yeah, but yeah, I can just remove T. But actually, the order indicates, like, the first order indicates a flat coordinate, the second order, third order indicates the Hamiltonian, and so on. So the power of T plays a different role, so. But forget about T if you don't want to ask.
There's a much more stupid role, which is anytime you have a series, anytime you have a sequence, you should put it into a generative function.
Yeah, well, that's true, but let's not bother about it. Okay, so now actually this formula is motivated from trying to understand the following relationship. Like the first one is about topological string. And this is a place you do interesting countings, like counting curves on a Calabi-Yau, for example, this kind of data. And this side, you try to understand the relationship with the KdV type integrable hierarchy. And the other side, try to understand, like for example, this Hodge theory. And this is the place where this T will play a role, but let me not say too much about it. And it's very funny that it's exactly this BV structure which connects all of the three. So let me explain the main construction. So this is the joint work with Wei Qiang He. And the fields are U. So it's something like that. Suppose X is a Calabi-Yau. It can be Landau Ginzburg anyway. It's a Calabi-Yau geometry. So let's make a product. And this is again a Calabi-Yau, one dimensional higher. And let's put B model on this space. By this, I mean like a particular type of gauge theory, which is called BCOA theory, that was discussed by Kevin yesterday. Then, this is complicated stuff. Like then you integrate over the fiber, well, by integrating out massive modes along the fiber. Along X, you end up with some kind of like a two-dimensional theory. It's a two-dimensional effective Kyle theory. Let's call this one EX. It's a complicated interacting theory anyway. And the way that if you try to write down action functionals over this guy, this term exactly encodes information of this kind of counting information in the internal Calabi-Yau. Now, then what's happening? Like this one, the theory here, like if you quantize the theory satisfying quantum mass equation or classical mass equation, this mass equation, when you do this integration, do this effective theory, automatically this one, you get by free. So this one satisfied mass equation. If you look at this mass equation carefully, you will realize that this mass equation exactly implies integrable hierarchy. And this integrable hierarchy turns out to be the style of like a Dupuytren-Jones integrable, principal integrable hierarchy. And if you do the calculation for example, suppose you do the calculation for x equals A1 singularity, which corresponds to pure gravity, then you just find this calculation. And that's the motivation of the talk. However, this is a conference on BWay with boundary. I will try to address something different, but hopefully I can explain a little bit about this construction later.
Could you say even more how you get the integral hierarchy from?
Yeah. This is a coupled to a large background symmetry. So, for example, volume preserving vector fields on this plane. So if you look at an abelian subgroup of the background symmetry, it's actually an abelian group of infinite rank. Then it's coupled to infinite conserved current by mass equation. That's roughly how it works. Okay, so let me come back to something more concrete form. So let me start with explaining this BWay theory. And that we're always discussing in this conference. So again, let me set up some notations. We're gonna work with a field. The space of field is gonna be, for example, smooth sections of some vector bundles on a particular manifold. And we have the Q and omega where, for example, this one is an elliptic complex. Brian discussed a lot about this yesterday, so. So they can be like a drum complex, a double complex. And this omega is a local minus one shifted symplectic. So in particular, if you write down the pairing, it's given by some local pairing like integration over the manifold, something like that. That's a locality. And in the classical case, we have a solution of classical mass equation. So we have an action functional of the following type. The free part plus the interaction. And this one is local. It can be written as something like Lagrangian density over the manifold. And this one satisfies the classical mass equation. And you can rewrite this equation the same thing as this type. This will be very convenient later on. Okay, so just a quick review. Now we want to do the quantum theory. And so naively, we want something like that. This is the quantum mass equation. For example, we want solutions of things like this type. And this is the EO defined in this infinite-dimensional setting, so I will explain what's happening. So actually, we need functions on this on the space of fields, so let me start with some notations. The linear functionals as a dual in vector space. Well, it's given by distributions. We know what this one is. That's fine. And then we need like a polynomial type of formal power theories on the space of fields. And we can just work with the distribution. Let's set up some notations. For example, we want to look at like degree n polynomial on this space of field. And this can be viewed as like a take a completely tensor product. So this means like a distribution is on the product space. And that's roughly what this one means. And that's something we can work with, that's fine. Now the problem is the following, like the B wave operator comes from the Poisson kernel of the sympathetic pairing. So this is a Poisson kernel. Well, let's call this one, K naught. It's the inverse of this sympathetic pairing. And we know like the inverse of this integration is given by delta function. And we can view this delta function as the distribution sectional of the product. So it's not smooth, it's singular. And yeah, Brian discussed also a little bit about this one yesterday, so let me make it more precise. So naively, the B wave operator is given by contracting this Poisson kernel with functions on the fields. So you want to define something like that. And you immediately see like this is a problem, this is EO defined. Because this is singular, it's like a distribution, and it's also distributions. You cannot pair distributions. You can pair distribution with smooth functions, but you cannot pair distributions. That is the UV problem in quantum field theory. And this is the place you need to do regularizations or renormalizations. So let's do this. So there are many ways you can do renormalization or regularization. So I'm gonna discuss like a Kevin's method. I'm gonna call this one homotopic renormalization. To make this one precise. Yeah, this is a very convenient framework. So the idea is very simple. I mean, the idea is that the problem is about a distribution. So at the cohomology, the distribution is basically the same as smooth functions. And this is an elliptic regularity. So this means that we can replace the EO-defined kernel by something smooth in a homotopic way. So this K naught can be written down as like KR up to exact terms. This guy is now smooth. But this guy is still singular, it's fine. This guy is also a distribution. Then, because this one is a smooth kernel, this operator is now well defined. And we can discuss what it means by quantum mass equation in this regularized BV data. So we got this triple functionals, this differential, and this BV operator. And we have this kind of mass equation well defined. And so on. Let's call this one the effective quantum mass equation. Okay. Now, as the formalism suggests, like if you choose different homotopy, you need to find somehow equivalent series. I mean, it can be connected by a very explicit homotopy. And Brian mentioned yesterday about this homotopy algebra flow. So let me also make this one precise. I want to keep this formula, so it's my favorite. Okay, so so here's a cartoon on what's happening. At the original point, this guy is ill-defined. But this place is a place where everything's become local. Now to do things like you go to a little bit nearby point, look at some kind of regularization. You have a well-defined regularized BV structure here. And you go to any other point. Now you try to solve mass equation at every regularized point, but connected by this homotopy. Call this one homotopy RG flow. So let's call this one an effective solution of quantum mass equation in this setup. The same thing as saying that we construct a family of solutions. This one solves the quantum mass equation at a particular regularized point, and then are compatible with this homotopy algebra flow. So this is like what you do for like defining rectitudes in algebraic geometry. So for example, some kind of isolated singularity, complicated. The one way you can define rectitude is like you first perturb the singularity to become a bunch of Morse type singularities. They can define the rectitude there and check. This doesn't depend on how you perturb the theory. This is like a homotopy version of this rectitude theory. So again, let me make one more definition. We say the theory is UA finite. If actually you can take the limit back. This one exists as a local functional. So naively, it's something like you start with some kind of local Lagrangian density and start to play with like a Feynman diagram techniques, and you don't find any kind of UV divergence for the theory. That's what we call like UV finite. Okay, that's the basic setup for doing this quantization. Any questions so far? I'll probably do some examples. Yes?
In examples where, like, I know that there can be obstructions to finding quantizations.
Yes, yes.
Different quantizations.
Yes, yes, yes.
So do the obstructions show up, like, when I just try to solve the QME, or do they show up when I try to solve it in a, like, UV, when I try to make it UV finite? Like, this is not a well-posed question.
This is a separate question, actually. Okay. You have obstruction for solving quantum mass equation.
Okay.
But UV finite is something like behave nice that it can, like formulate a theory somehow at the original local point. I will show you some examples. Actually, most examples today will be this type, so. So simplest example, like one-dimensional case. We work with like quantum mechanical models. So this can be like a line or S1 or interval or things like that. Now let's look at the following topological quantum mechanical model. Let's call this X Durand be this superspace. This is the underlying topological space. It's the structure shift given by Durand complex. And let's pick up a graded vector space. Let's look at linear case, graded vector space. It's like zero symplectic pairing. It's like symplectic space. So let's look at this topological quantum mechanical model by as a map from this guy to the target, which is a linear space V. Now the one way we can describe this map is given by some kind of like a V-valued function on this X Durand. So somehow the same thing as saying that V is the element of Durand complex valued in this V. So let's make this one precise. Now the space of field in the model along that line is exactly given by this Durand complex valued in this symplectic space. And there's a natural differential, Q is given by the Durand complex on this one-dimensional space. This is the elliptic complex. Then we have a natural pairing. The minus one shifted symplectic pairing on this model is given by you integrate. So this is a pairing on the wave factor. So, and then you end up with like a differential forms on X and integrate. And this is minus one shifted symplectic. So that's the model. Now you get exactly the same setup here. So let's try to understand the quantization process. So first, let's try to describe all the possible interactions. So there's a way to create interactions from the model. It's like suppose I start with a function on the V on the symplectic space. I can obtain from this data a local functional on the field. So for example, suppose I have elements like polynomial on this V, I obtain a local functional. Let's call this one a check. Like the value on the field is given by something like integrated. That's an interaction. For example, suppose it's a qubit polynomial, then you're gonna create a like qubit interaction in this form.
Do you have to put a DT there?
No, I mean, there's no DT. So this is like it's forms. So I have to get a correct form to be integrated.
But the shifts
to the Yeah, that's why it's like, yeah. It's like this minus one shifted, and so, but in particular, the degree of this one equals the degree of I minus one, yes. Okay. Now here's the main theorem describing this quantization in the sense I just described in a very precise form. This is a theorem joined with Ryan Grady, Qin Li, and so the first statement is not surprising. The first statement is like the theory is UA finite. This is not surprising. The second statement is the following. This kind of effective solution of quantum mass equation in this kind of fancy world When you quantize, if you do this calculation, I mean, local functional, you go to some nearby point, look at this regularized mass equation, solve it, and come back. Using this UV finally, you figure out that actually this complicated equation is the same thing as the following simple equation. So I is viewed as, let's say this for I, let me say the series look like the free part plus interaction part. And this interaction part is given by some functionals on the target valid in H bar. That's the structure of the theory. And this guy satisfies quantum mass equation if and only if this original one, this one is satisfied. So this is a commutator. With respect to the Moyle product, because this is like a zero symplectic, so you can do a deformation quantization using this Moyle product, and that's the equation. So this equation is exactly the same thing as saying that you get a family of solutions to quantum mass equations. That is a description of the equation at a UV point, basically. That is the precise description of this process.
Sorry, what degrees
of it?
Which one? What
degrees of it? Yeah, the degree is this guy degree 1. So the action function has degree 0.
So you wrote 0, it should be 1.
Yes.
So in particular, you're saying that if V was an ordinary vector space, then this is
yeah, that's very boring. But if you look at the sympathetic manifold, the gluing things, you're going to introduce additional like a ghost field gauging this diffeomorphism, make a fun interesting stuff. But it's going to be related to so called the Fadasov black connection on this wire bundle.
So, for example, to do some reduction of synthetic. The target synthetic manifold.
Target synthetic manifold, yes, you can glue this construction.
But you also
have
gauge symmetry.
Yes.
Or some other map, and these are
like
the condition that
yes,
have
yes,
a positive
yes,
version
yes.
of random
map. You can do a bunch of construction like that. Yes. Okay, so now, oh great. So now this is with the boundary BV, it seems like. But this is a remark, like suppose you work with a bulk theory, with a boundary. This is nearby a neighborhood of the boundary. Suppose you solve quantum mass equation in the bulk. This bulk field. Then somehow you can restrict this quantization to nearby neighborhood of the boundary. So this is like the neighborhood. It's like a boundary cross. Let's assume like the theory is topological along this normal direction. Then when you restrict the bulk field around this neighborhood, like also explained by Brian's talk, along with many other people's talk, I mean similar stuff. So it becomes like a boundary field tensor with the Durham complex along this normal direction, that's topological along this normal direction. And somehow we can think about this field as an effective one-dimensional topological thick model. Valued in this effective boundary field. Then apply the theorem. You see, like, if you quantize the story and nearby, you restrict the quantization to the nearby neighborhood, the quantum mass equation near this neighborhood produce a degree 1 operator. Possibly with H bar. In the wire algebra or in the deformation quantized algebra.
So if you want to put it in strictly in this formalism, then you should do pass to the harmonic modes of the boundary fields?
That's right, yeah.
But I think it's
cool. Yeah, well, let's be naive, yes. Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about it, yeah. But anyway, then you know, this is exactly what's described by Abato's talk. I mean, you got degree one operator on this on this information quantization of the phase space, which is square zero, basically. So in particular, if you choose a polarization, like say this become a tangent bound of the of some kind of Lagrangian, then this one acts on the Fock representation. And we see many discussions like Abato's talk and Thielsen's talk is describing this V0 structure. And also Brian's talk when he used, like, where's Brian? Yes. Used transversal Lagrangians to describe the Kozu duality and things like that. So that's just a remark. But we will not discuss too much about this stuff. We're going to work with the two dimensional chiral theory and try to see what's happening. OK. Now let's work on the main part of the talk. Now I want to erase this picture. To the chiral. I spent the motivation for this 2D chiral theory in the beginning about some kind of effective theory from Calabiol. But basically, we want to understand the following problem. Like, first of all, there's some interesting 2D theory. For example, some kind of like free CFT, some examples. So for example, you have this model like a free boson. You have this kind of a free BC system, and this kind of beta gamma system. Now, the goal of this talk is to describe. Where's the talk? Yeah, the goal of the talk is to describe the quantization of the following theory that we would like to start with an action functional with the free part, just like that, plus some kind of interaction part, which is given by, let's call this one holomorphic, depends on this data. And this Lagrangian density can be very complicated, but it involves only holomorphic derivative. So let's call this one a chiral deformation. That's the model for our study. And then we try to understand in a similar fashion, as just explained for this topological quantum mechanical model, what's the precise meaning for this quantum mass equation in this effective world. So let me explain by, again, example. So now let's work with a two-dimensional case. Again, let's pick up the same data, V. Make it this way. This is zero symplectic. Now we can cook up the following B-wave field theory. The space of field in this model is given by Dubois complex valued in this vector space. And the differential is given by the Dubois operator. Now, the symplectic pairing is given by the same, basically the same formula, but now it's 2D integration. Yeah, this time let me work with a free, like a flat surface, but it can be more general, but let me work with flat case. Then you've got this kind of pairing. So here, this pairing is from this V side, it's zero symplotic. You end up with some kind of like under-holomorphic differential forms. You integrate again this volume form, and you get it. This is the integration, which is minus one shifted symplotic. And I got this BV data. And now we want to understand the quantization quantum problem for this data. It's very similar to the one-dimensional model. Now what's happening is the following. Now I'm gonna write down completely the same fashion of this what I wrote here. So it turns out that to describe the quantization, it's very convenient to use the language of vertex algebra. So first, let's promote this V to a vertex algebra. Let's call this one this kind of V. It's a very confusing notation, so let me explain what this means precisely. So as a vector space, so choose a basis. A basis of this of the dual of this vector space. Then, as a vector space, this vertex algebra equals the free differential ring generated by this AIs. As a vector space. Then, you know, for the vertex algebra, there's the most important data is about the state field correspondence and the OPE things. So I just described to you the OPE, for this generating field. It's given by like AIZ, AJW. The singular part of the OPE is given by H bar, AI, AJ, over Z minus W. So this is a pairing coming from the symplectic pairing. And if you are familiar with vertex algebra from this OPE, you can read that this kind of thing is basically a combination of BC and beta gamma system. It depends on the grading here, like all the parity. And similarly, I want to describe this chiral deformations, which involves a bunch of like terms containing derivatives. And actually, you see this the formal expression for the derivatives. Actually, you can write down a corresponding Lie algebra associated to this vertex algebra. Just by collecting all the Fourier modes, let's call this one Fourier modes of this vertex algebra. So as a vector space, this is spent just by all the expressions from this state field correspondence. So A is a vector, is an element of the vertex algebra, and this is a field under the state field correspondence. You look to collect the Fourier modes, and that's a Lie algebra, and the Lie bracket is determined by an OPE. That's a very standard construction.
In this example, is it the underlying Lie algebra and associative algebra? Is it the underlying Lie algebra and associative algebra?
Yes, it's like a compacted outer circle.
Right, so
yeah.
If this was the Casimir, this would be the inverse involving algebra.
Yeah. Okay, so now I'm going to write down something very similar. It's like from this kind of Lie algebra, we can cook up the things we want. So basically, the expression from here just tells us like this one leads to all possible ways of writing down chiral deformations. It's very similar to the map we wrote down for this topological quantum mechanical model. So essentially, like suppose here as it's a formulae, let's call this one I. Formally, you write this one as like some kind of expressions, formal expressions. And it's mapped to a local functional on the field, essentially by the same formula, but they replace the loop integral by this 2D integral. Well, the same formula. So here, AI is an element of the dual of this vector space. So there's a natural pairing between the dual and the vector space because our field is a duple complex valued in this V. That's how you write down a local functional with chiral interactions. And again, by the same reason, like because of the integration by this Wollin form, the degree is shifted by one. The same thing. And now let me write down the main theorem. It completes the analog of this topological quantum mechanics. When did I start, by the way? Okay, great. The theorem is the following. The first one is a little bit surprising, but not much. Like the theory is let's work on the action function of the following type, the free part plus the interaction part coming from this expression. It's a chiral operator, probably with H bar. That is the expression. Then, first of all, the theory is U infinite. Secondly, the effective solution of quantum mass equation. In this homotopic sense, the same thing as saying that you get an operator of degree one, which squares zero, basically as a chiral operator. So this is a leap bracket for this algebra. So basically, you get a degree one square zero chiral operator by this expression. That is the chiral quantization theory. I want to explain this theorem a little bit by examples. So the first part, the theory is UV finite, is a little bit against the intuitive power counting method, but it's true for the chiral deformation. So I will just explain to you by one example. And then I'll explain the second part. So to explain what is the meaning of this equation, or this theorem, so let me do one example. Let's put the theory on the curve. Now let's look at the following chiral deformation of free boson. This is not completely the same setup as what I was describing here, but the theorem is completely similar. So let me just describe the theory. So it's a deformation of this chiral boson. The qubit interaction, dz. So that's a chiral deformation of the free theory. Now, let's try to understand, for example, a two-loop diagram from this theory. This is a propagator. if you compute what this one look like, the propagator has the following form. In this example, it's given by first one, y stars p function plus a second term. I need to get this one correct. Yes, the factor is like a pi square over 3 E2 star, and this E2 star is basically the E2, the second Eisenstein series with the correction by this term. You know that the second Eisenstein series is not modular, but if you correct by this factor, it has a modularity property, but it's not holomorphic anymore. But that's life. And that's the propagator, what it looked like. And then you want to integrate this guy. So a priori, you might think like, oh, come on, this is Weierstrass P function. This Weierstrass P function. That's an order 2 pole, basically. So if you try to integrate this one, you're going to have like order 6 pole. And this, by the naive power counting, this one is divergent. But actually, this homotopic renormalization is very smart. The way you compute this diagram is by first go to nearby point, compute it, and try to take a limit back. And this limit back actually exists. Let me just show you what's happening here. This actually so this is the geometric interpretation of this renormalized value. And this interpretation is joint work with J Zhou. It's the following. So how to understand this renormalized integral? So let's look at on the Riemann surface or on the curve, we have the following exact sequence. So this is like a shift of meromorphic function. This is like a meromorphic one form without order one pole. Without order one pole, so without residues. So in particular, locally, it's exact. That's why you have an exact sequence of this shift. Then, if you look at this integrant, I mean, the way you do this renormalization is the following. Like, this guy, basically, the integrant. Now, let's rewrite this integrant something like, well, this guy has order 6 pole. That's fine. I can view this this element as h1 of the shift on the curve. And this is called a shift of Abelian differential of second kind. It's like this bar give you this h1, and this integrant give you this element. And you can actually look at the boundary map of this exact sequence. This one is mapped to h2 of the curve. And now you can integrate. And this value, as a composition, is exactly the renormalized integral. And this is a process that you first go to nearby regularized point, do the integration, and come back, and you find this map. And using this algebraic geometric interpretation, you can compute it. For example, yeah, this is my collaborator is an expert on this, so. This is the answer, 2 squared over 3 cubed times 5 E6. I like this, so let me put it here. This connects to the first motivation in this talk. And using this algebraic geometric interpretation, you compute this renormalized value, and you find something like that equals, well, 2 squared over 3 cubed times 5 E6 this is the second, this is Eisenstein series, 2 over 3 squared times 5, E4, E2 star, and minus 2 over 3 cubed, E2 star cubed. Hi, Jay, I hope it's correct formula. Yeah. Anyway, that's called an almost holomorphic modular form. You see this has a mild anti-holomorphic dependence here. But actually, if you remove this anti-holomorphic dependence by replacing E2 star by E2, this formula has meanings like computing, it's called a one descendant. Gromitian counting. If you count, like how many genus two curves map to the up to the Riemann surface, map to the curve. It's purely enumerated geometry, and this is computed by a digraph. And that is the incidence of mirror symmetry. It's a Gromitian type of counting holomorphic maps, and here this is a purely some kind of period map. And it actually can turn down more complicated terms. It's a cube interaction. It turns out they can turn down infinitely many terms in a compatible way, satisfying mass equation. Then it can get by turning on more terms. You find the full Gromitian invariance of the mirror or counting, like count any kind of a Riemann surface map to the curve. And this is so this is one of the motivation. I erased that part. Yes, it's one of the motivation of the talk. But anyway, that's the chiral quantization theory. Any questions so far? Or? Great. Now let me move on to the boundary stuff. So from this page, I will not know what I'm talking about, so I just put some names in. Let's do chiral boundary, whatever. You know, also, no, I'm not sure whether it's correct, so I just do some discussions. So suppose I work on a complex manifold. And then I have a divisor, which you view as a chiral boundary. This is a divisor. Now let's try to do the same thing as I explained in this topological quantum mechanical model, that you quantized the theory in the bulk. In the bulk. Let's call the bulk field E. And then, in a similar fashion, let's zoom into around the nearby neighborhood of the divisor. So, near this divisor. It's not true that as an analytic space, this is a product. It's not true, but let's assume this more for simplicity, naively. And near this, let's call this one U. Near this boundary, this is a divisor, this can be written down as something living in the divisor. Now assume like along this normal direction is chiral. In a similar fashion as I described for this topological quantum mechanics. And then again, you should think about this theory as a chiral theory in two dimensions valued in this guy. So this now, again, they are symplectic.
Do you have to assume that divisor is anticonical for this divisor
symplectic?
Divisor
for?
D
to be anticonical of x?
Or? Yeah, trivialize along this normal direction. But let me not be that precise, because I'm not precise anyway here. So then you apply this chiral quantization theory. What you find? You quantize quantum mass equation. So the quantization, the bulk, like if you restrict to the nearby boundary, and like become something like that. So you find a quantum mass equation for this data. And by the theorem, you know, this produced basically a term like chiral operator. Well, let me write in this way. Some chiral operator, degree one, acting on the Fock space of the vertex algebra. The vertex algebra associated with the boundary field. And again, this is square zero as a consequence of the quantum mass equation. And you can view this one as an analog of this usual boundary BV theory in some sense, but let me stop here. So.
Questions for Sue?
Yes?
Can you say more about what you hinted at the beginning of this expressionless KBV in the series?
Yes. Yes, actually, you know, these terms are. These terms are correlation functions for this A1 singularity, these generic functions. So when you integrate along the fiber, the effective interaction downstairs is computed by the generic functions of the on the A1 singularity. So the term becomes the interactions of the chiral theory.
Exactly. I mean, the chiral theory is that if you build on things, then UQ becomes.
It's actually U. It's a derivative of the free boson. Yes. So yeah, actually, the theorem of, I mean, effective theory downstairs is like a, you find a bunch of chiral bosons parameterized by the homology of this of the Calabi-Yau. So in the A1 case, you have only one boson, but in general, you have a bunch of them. The mass equation just says like, oh, coupled with the background symmetry, just tell you like, have even many commuting operators. Yes. Yes.
So in the one-dimensional theory,
yes.
The condition was like somehow the non-trivial condition that the start product V bracket of I with itself is zero. Whereas here it seems that you don't tap through the form. Right?
This,
is there a reason why?
Which one is this equation?
This equation holds in like an interdimensional veil algebra.
So it's already the
yeah.
Surprise there.
It's built from the veil algebra, built from the loops of the
world. Okay, so okay.
Yeah.
So my knowledge was there inside. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's already.
And then it's taking your correspondence. Yeah.
So okay. It still is a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope it makes some sense.
Any further questions for C? Now we should thank him again.
Thanks.